Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our show. I don't have someone with me on the show today to ask questions or for any other reason, and so it's just my listeners and myself. I hope you will enjoy today's show because I'm going to answer the questions that you have sent into our office. And one of the questions that has been sent in is the question about destiny. How do we find our destiny? Now, my brothers and sisters, we need to look at what has changed concerning destiny for my being able to answer this for you. You see, destiny was a lot different when we had illusion within the cosmos. Now, illusion, as I mean it here, is that there were portions of existence that Mother did not fully understand whether they were being mirrored to her as herself or whether they were her creations mirroring that which she was not, because they do have freedom of choice to some extent. So Mother did not know what it was. At that point, the major light beacons of the cosmos, if you will, came to Earth. Now, they specifically came to Earth because this is the pivot point. And the Earth is the pivot point because it is the densest of all creations. It is at this dense level where we have individuations. And at one point when the cosmos did ascend too rapidly and actually was ascending from upper levels as well, it separated. And the high beings could not communicate properly with us here on Earth. All of a sudden, beings that I've been speaking to could hardly see us. We couldn't hear each other. And then we became aware that there had the split had happened. That is what happens if you ascend from the top upwards. So many, many beings came to where it was at, the hot spot, Earth. And the beings that came were the most intelligent, the most beautiful, luminous beings that could possibly be. They were mothers and fathers firstborn. And so they came to Earth here to make a difference. In many instances, through eons of existence, we have had to play roles that perhaps we were not. For example, someone could be playing a role of being a perpetrator so that the one that they are injuring can get certain insights. If they get those insights, the perpetrator no longer has to play that role. So the next lifetime around, the other one might be playing it. And so we went from one to the other. And what has happened is that over eons of time, the destiny we had required different roles for us to play. But our destiny was a contract that we made with the Infinite Mother and Father that at some point, a specific theme, a specific chunk of the unsolved riddles as to what was and what isn't would be turned through our experience from the unknown to the known. Light has many different definitions because, unfortunately, in English there are not enough words for light. There are hundreds of words in many of the sacred languages. But here, light is actually accessed information, among other things. When we turn the unknown into the known, we're turning what used to be darkness into light. there is no longer darkness. It's just human eyes that see it. If one can see and perceive subtler light and energy, and you can travel through the cosmos, you will find that you no longer travel in what is blackness. You are traveling in a purple, beautiful light. That light recently changed to blue. So it's a blue-purple, it's an indigo color. So the mother's being has no more darkness. It's been turned to light. We did this by solving what is and what isn't. We fulfilled our destinies. And so as we did that, my beloved brothers and sisters, the term destiny has changed. There is no set contract that we have undertaken that we will live. Life has become like a blank canvas, and we are able to choose at will what it is we wish to paint on it. Now, we have spoken before on the show about inevitability and manifestation. That inevitability are the portions of life that we can't change. The reason being that there is a blueprint in place for the destiny, if you will, in other words, the guidelines within it can achieve its highest potential of the cosmos itself. We do not go contrary to that in our choices. Life will push us back. But we can enhance it. We can live in such a glorious way that the whole blueprint of the cosmos changes. Blueprint right now means the guidelines in which we can achieve our highest potential. Whatever level we are, there are guidelines within which we can achieve our highest potential. Some signs as to whether we are walking the right path, whether we are within those guidelines, is that whatever we do is making us happy. Whoever we're with is making us happy. If they are not, it needs to be discussed. And one of the questions that I wanted to address next was conflict resolution, or how to deal with people around us that are not moving the way we are. But, my brothers and sisters, we need to follow those good feelings of our heart. Since destiny has changed, since illusion is technically gone as a reality within the cosmos, whether we choose to live it or not, that's our issue. We always have the option within those guidelines to live old patterns that no longer serve. But if we now live our highest truth, our heart will signal us. Let's take a little look at something else. We have also this issue of the body language, pains and aches that happen. My little girl and I, beautiful little one I adopted when she was 9 months old, she does not even have a physician. I've taken her one time to the emergency room because of nosebleeds, but she has no physician because we analyze when things start to go wrong, what her body is saying to her. There are times she just needs to stay home from school. You know, and then she starts to tell me how she thinks she might be getting sick, and then I say, no, what do you really want? If it is that you need to stay home from school because the pressure is just a little too much, or it's just one of those times, you don't need to materialize illness to do that. It is the language that tells us when we are not listening to our heart. So level one of our language is the heart. What makes it feel great is our highest truth. But level two is when we do not listen to it, it will come out as aches and pains in the body. There is an interim step, however, but not many people do this. It's in the dream time. Our dreams are going to tell us each night what we missed. The signs in our environment tell us what our next step is. When we miss those signs, then it comes in our dreams. The dreams are so important to creating a life in which change and growth can occur gracefully and easily. We cannot afford not to set that alarm for 20 minutes more in the morning, or 20 minutes earlier, getting us 20 minutes more, just to go over what our dreams meant in the night. In the Ring of Truth, I've given the dream symbols. I've mapped out every finger, every toe, what, you know, something that happens with that finger stands for. The dream symbols that you have in your own life will add to that. But it's a skeleton, and what it is the dream symbols that for eons Toltec seers who have gone back and forth between worlds studying our reality have come up with. So my brothers and sisters, study dream symbols, develop more of your own. Some of them will be particular to you. And read them first in your environment. That's the today's news. The yesterday's news is the dreams, the things that we missed. Take time to see them. And the hard knocks don't have to happen. So let us take a quick break and we will be right back with you.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Up and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Arupa Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
But let's take a look at your questions regarding your marriages, relationships, where there is a vast difference in perception. There are a couple of things to explore, and we'll sort of dance around the topic a bit, but let's start by tying it into what we discussed in our first section. It is interesting that in some European countries, the wedding ring is on the right hand, on the, it would be the equivalent of your ring finger on the other hand. So on that hand is where the ring goes once there's marriage. Now, in Ring of Truth, we give you the body parts as dream symbols. The symbolism of the fingers is very important. It's according to the Mayan glyphs, there are 20 glyphs, there are 20 fingers and toes. That finger stands for sanctuary, retreat. It is fascinating that European countries, for instance, I believe Germans wear their wedding ring on that finger. It means that the relationship is a sanctuary and a retreat. And also, it's the ring, it's the finger of abundance. But if you have it on your left finger, it is the finger that is represented by Skywalker in the Mindless, and it is explore, wakefulness to pierce the veil. What that means, literally, when somebody wears their wedding ring symbol on that finger, is that that will be the emphasized frequency, if you will, within their marriage. What that means, my beloved brothers and sisters, is that our partners are our mirrors that give us our next step. They will play roles so that we can pierce the veil of illusion, so that we can push life inch by inch further and further than it's ever gone before. So it is definitely more adventurous to emphasize that frequency than it is the retreat finger on the right hand. But that means that your relationship is going to be an adventure. The adventure is that you realize that you live with your partner in a state that is called divine sovereignty. Relationships are supposed to be in divine sovereignty when you are with somebody as husband and wife or as two partners living together. What that means is that you take full responsibility for what goes on around you. The essence of divine sovereignty, which is the key to successful relationship in the cosmos today, it didn't used to be. It used to be other things, but those frequency bands in the cosmos have changed. I spoke in Journey to the Heart of God about the four bands of compassion, that those mirror the stages of relationship. For instance, how we used to end up with relationships is like this. We used to enter a relationship and we used to seek sameness. A major problematic flaw if that is prolonged, because sameness brings stagnation. It is the band of compassion that used to exist in the cosmos that tribal life mirrors. It is uniformity. It's the place of slowest growth. And life bumps us into growth in an unpleasant way when we get stuck. This is the place most likely to be a stuck place. The second band of compassion that I describe in Journey to the Heart of God, and we actually give these bands of compassion as a way that you can do conflict resolution. But let's look at it as developmental stages in a relationship. So the second way is that you start to see that even though you both like toast and jam, you like to do your laundry once a week, he likes to do his laundry five times a week, there are differences. So you start to notice the differences, but you hold to the pattern of sameness. Then it used to be, you know, the relationship sped up these stages because we were trying to learn from them very rapidly to bring things to a close, which we did. We used to have diversity. The way people live in mechanized society. They live next to neighbors for 40 years and they don't even know who they are, or whether they're alive or dead or ill or well. There's a trend away from this separatism, as there should be, because those three bands of compassion have become obsolete. What we now have in its place is unity within diversity. Unity within diversity is a good way for relationships to be where there is a great diversity in the level of consciousness. For example, let us say that you are married to somebody, you're a very major light worker, very advanced in your growth, and fluidity is the key to whether or not a light worker is advanced or not. Because a light worker that clings to old belief systems has just made another church for himself. So it's fluidity that is the key to growth for a light worker. Let's say that you're one of those, which I'm sure you are, or you wouldn't be listening to these words. You are hand-chosen, because Mother promised me that. So my brothers and sisters, if you are with a partner who doesn't even want to hear about anything spiritual whatsoever, totally immersed in the physical life, the place to live from, which is a valid place, is unity within diversity. That means that you have the same ideals. You have the same goal. An example would be, a community comes together because they all believe in, say, self-sustenance. So a self-sustaining community, they have the same ideals. They want to be off the grid. They want to live in, environmentally friendly with the earth and from its resources in a way that is replenished back again. So this is their ideal. They come together. They might like each other, they may not. They may love each other, they may not. It doesn't matter. Together we have the unity of the ideal. It's mind unity, as you can see. And that is the way you live with somebody, if you determine that your heart wants to move forward with it, that is yet at another level and has not yet awakened. And I will tell you that I've seen the most miraculous awakenings. As the wife or husband moves into higher level, they awaken their partners. It's like night and day. So if deep down inside you know that at some point this person has another chance or 10 left, but one day this is going to happen, this is the way to make that relationship flourish. Because their hearts might yet be closed, but you flourish on ideals. What is it that you're jointly working towards? So then you get to a higher level, and it is diversity within unity. So no longer unity within diversity, but now we have diversity within unity. And what that is people might have different belief systems. Somebody might go to the Lutheran church. Somebody might be totally New Age. Somebody else might be this or that. But they are of one heart. Because their hearts are fully opened, even though they may have different viewpoints, different ideals. And when that is the case, when the one heart is there, my brothers and sisters, those differences just melt away. You hardly even see it. Now, people, for that heart to be fully opened, the mind's dialogue needs to have been stilled. The dialogue gets stilled as day by day we examine where we have knee-jerk reactions. And when we have knee-jerk reactions, it's like a ripple on the water. That's where the fish of perception is waiting for you to catch. Take your time. Don't wait for the hard knocks before you wait to see what happened. Watch the ripples of your day. The ripples that are the most definitely needed to be looked at are irritations in you, when things irritate you. Even if you have to spend a half an hour on it, find it. Otherwise, you have them in your face every day. So they may not change, but the irritation may, once you get the perception. So when you are in this place of one heart, the perception might be different. That is a much higher way to live. And when people's hearts can open, as I've just pointed out, because they've done some self-work, or otherwise because they live in such states of praise and love and gratitude, whether they are Lutheran or Mormon or whatever, their heart is so full of praise, that it's open. And when this is the case, you can live with such a person in this, under these circumstances. Now, this applies to all levels of life, not just husbands and wives or partners that live together as partners of destiny. There is an even higher way, and it's the way that mother and father live. And it's another frequency band in the cosmos. And it's the frequency band of self-sustaining oneness. My brothers and sisters, who can you live like this with? Unless you are highly fortunate to have someone with the same ideals and the same uniformed open heart, so you're of one heart, one mind. You have mother and father to live this with. Self-sustaining oneness. If you live in states of love and praise and gratitude, taking full responsibility for your environment within yourself, then you are fully living divine sovereignty, which is the diversity within unity. Remember that second one we spoke of that has the one heart? To do that, you change your environment by changing yourself. When you fully, at that level of self-responsibility, you are ready to go into self-sustaining oneness with mother and father. They are of one mind and of one heart. When one grows, the other grows. It is imperative that the distance in the mother's light to the father's light and the father's light to creation's light remain the same. Because if it gets too big of a distance, they start to attract each other in an abnormal way, which could cause an implosion of the cosmos. So that distance is maintained. As mother grows, father grows. As he grows, she grows. My brothers and sisters, let's take a moment for a break, and we will talk more about that when we get back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Al Mean continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Al Mean is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore. The inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Al Mean, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And we were talking about the fact that if you can live in your relationships in what is called divine sovereignty, which is diversity within unity, which means you live in one heart with creation, with all beings. Then you are ready to go the next step, which is to live in self-sustaining oneness with the mother and the father who live as a unit. My brothers and sisters, what that means is so extraordinary if we think about it. Now, we know the prerequisite is we have to properly live the previous band of compassion, which is this one heart, which I will explain to you in a moment. But can you imagine if we can achieve that? Because if we achieve that and we hook up, so to speak, as a unit with the mother and father, we grow through grace. If we can stay in that place of love and praise and gratitude with mother and father, every time they grow, which means the cosmos grows, we grow. Effortless growth through grace. How can we achieve such a wonderful thing? Because see, if we have that, there is no aging. There is no death. Because we have hooked up to the perpetual energy source of the cosmos. How can we do that? Well, by doing our homework well in the previous band of compassion. Let's see how we would live if we live with diversity within unity, living in that unified field of the one heart. It's called divine sovereignty. In divine sovereignty, we cultivate what is called autonomy, which is actually a band of compassion that is between divine sovereignty and it's between unity within diversity and divine sovereignty. There is autonomy. To get this fully developed, what we need to do is as follows. Let's say somebody in our environment is very obnoxious at work. They are constantly clamoring for attention. They speak in a loud voice. They are a troublemaker. We see that in them. To be able to see that in them, we have to have something like that inside ourselves. We only pull things in our environment that we have inside ourselves. My brothers and sisters, that is why I know that the people that listen to these shows are the ones that push the boundaries of life. Because that is the way I am. And if I share this with you, it's to push knowledge, information, frequency beyond where it's ever gone before. Those are the ones I'm going to be attracting to these words. We attract what we are doing inside, what we are. If such a person at work is that obnoxious, there is a part of you clamoring for attention. There's a part of you that is needy, that needs to be taken care of. If I were to hazard a guess, it either would be the inner nurturer, who is trying to nurture and is ignored because everything is offered on the altar of everlasting doing, or it could be the inner child, who for most light workers get overlooked because they are so serious about becoming enlightened. The inner child is absolutely crucial to that autonomy that allows our inner family to make us complete. In autonomy, you are a self-contained unit. By divine sovereignty, you have to take full responsibility that the unit is not just within you, it's also without you. So that if you are creating a situation within where there is the inner child clamoring to be heard, making trouble for you, bringing partners or people into your life that a child wants nurturing from. So you're bringing people in that's going to try and dictate or dominate your life, or because your child is trying to find an outlet. Please take care of me. The child is a troublemaker. My brothers and sisters, as you recognize that this person in your office is exactly something that is inside you, if you then, through perception, and through diligence, rectify that something within. It's no good to just see that it's the inner child if we don't ever give it any attention. So we'll look in a second how we work with our subpersonalities. But if we do not give that child the attention, that person's behavior won't change. As we change that part within us, we will see that person change to the next level. Now, if that person has contracted with us to give us perception, they will give us the next level of dysfunctionality. In other words, their behavior will change. And then we might find the next part in us. In other words, they may over-nurture themselves. I want to have the window open in the middle of winter. I don't want you to turn the heater on. I want to change the water supply. I want to have ventilation in the office. I want this, I want that. Now, if you've already taken care of your inner child, it might be that that person is saying, nurture me, nurture me, nurture me. And so now you have to bring your inner nurturer online. But as you heal the layers within through diligently working on them and perception, the person in front of you must change. When we take responsibility, not just for the person, but for everything, even who's elected president, by what is within. I'm only one person? Yes, one person can change that. Let me give you an incredible example of this. And I might have mentioned this on a previous show. But in my Aruba Sirina book, we were allowed to take interdimensional photos for 1 week. The beings that were in the photos either were light-filled, like the fairies. The objects that were in the photos were either light-filled, like we were able to photograph the gems in Mother's crown before they were put in, and then we were able to photograph Mother's crown itself. Those things are real. They're beautiful, and they're light-filled. Now, we were able also to film things, and those photos were taken from 3 different cameras. We were also able to photograph things, myself and 9 other masters, that later turned out to be part of illusion. There was a dark god that masqueraded as God the Father, both masqueraded as a being of light. It took eons to puzzle that one out, but they were photographed. Since the books were printed, which I believe happened in January of 2007, since the books were printed, the pictures in the books have changed. As I've done my work with the classes to get rid of the illusion these beings represent, to puzzle out why they were there, as we've done the work on behalf of Mother, because remember what we always say, it's in the flesh where all new knowledge is gained. So oftentimes we have to, in physicality, puzzle out things that have never been known in the cosmos before. But as we changed it, my books have been changing. If you happen to have an Aruba Sirina book, watch. Because the crown is becoming more and more and more distinct as the ascension, as this ascension goes on, it becomes more and more clear. While the other things have turned into a blur. And you have folks with these gray robes there and so on. In a few months, they will be gone. There was a total outline of one of the gods kissing me, total face. And I marveled at why the face was dark. But the whole picture was red because when you film into the next dimension, it's red. When you film in the one beyond that, it becomes orange and so on. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe he's purple, and this is a purple over red, which is making this gray, dark look. But by the time he was printed, it was printed, the outline of his face had become just a blob. And now it's become become a purple swirl on white. It's gone completely. There's nothing there because he has been written out of existence by Mother. We can change even something on a page that has already been printed. That is how the mirrors in our environment are affected by us. So, my brothers and sisters, if we can live that, changing what is without within, then we're ready to form that self-sustaining oneness with the Mother and Father, providing us an eternal source of energy and growth. Let us take a commercial break and then we will be back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Velvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We are now in our final segment of the show, and there are two little things that we brought up in the previous show, that I'd really like to just go over with you so we're all on the same page. My brothers and sisters, we have spoken about our thinking that life can do things to us, and then when we finally get that it can't, that anything without can be changed within, that it is but a mirror. And it's a little bit like going to the big screen and swatting flies with a fly swatter on the big screen, giant big flies, because they're in fact on the projector. That's the way flaws in our environment really are. So let's take a look at a concept that the Toltecs had as seers before, when we were living out trying to solve things. They called it the madness within the dream, this concept. And they said that the madness within the dream was a term that they used to describe the fact that as our higher self designed our experiences for our highest good, we felt victimized by them. To feel victimized by external circumstances. See, we used to wonder why life was designed this way, but we designed our life's experiences down to the minutest details, and we agreed to embody them, because remember, you know, before there were definite portions of existence that had to be solved that we didn't know whether it was illusion or not. But so we agreed to embody them, and then we prayed to be saved from their unpleasantness. That was what the madness of the dream was. Now that there isn't illusion anymore. We no longer have destinies to fulfill, certain things that we have to explore through experience. The madness has a different form. And it's a little bit like that of a hypochondriac. Even though we may have been diseased in our human experience and have had discordant energies within us so that we could embody and fulfill that specific mission Mother sent us on, that's over. Time has collapsed, and even the memory of discordance has been erased. In addition, because Mother reformed us, recreating us in the perfection of her being, the disease does not exist anymore. Protectiveness, anger, pain, and fear are all remnants of that past disease. The war games of nations, the struggle for supremacy, are there only because some still hold them in place, like hypochondriacs. Look at them if you must, but do not give illusion power by allowing it to affect you in any way that would be the madness within the dream. You see, the screen cannot be writing the script. You are the projector. You are writing the script. Take responsibility. Cute little movie that I went to go and see with my little daughter called Nim's Island. And in there, there's this hero in the book that this little girl worships. And the hero says, "I write my own story." And so when she has to be brave, she says, "It's time for me to write my own story." I want to take this even deeper. Write your own story in that you take full responsibility for what manifests around you. So the other concept that I just briefly want to touch on, because I'm hoping to look at the subpersonalities before we end our program today, but I just want to talk about the unknown, the known, and the unknowable, because it's the way that information is organized by Toltec seers like myself so that we can work with it. The known is that which is at your fingertips. Okay, if you need to, you can get it on a computer. If you need to, you can get it in an encyclopedia. But somewhere, it's available. That is the known. Now, the unknown is that which is already known within the cosmos. My brothers and sisters, I so frequently say how valuable human knowing is, that it is experiential knowledge. And yet so many of us look to the hidden realms for that which we are here uncovering. Let's take a look at what the hidden realms do well versus what humanity does well. No one does it like we do. Sounds like a James Bond song. Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better than humanity to uncover the unknowable. Unknowable is that which nobody has ever known before. Now, the interesting thing of it is the unknown, which is what the rest of the cosmos is so great at, because they're able to see with a great expanded vision. But that expanded vision is like a horizontal vision. We have the vertical vision that's deep and probes and pushes the boundary of life further than it's been before. They are wonderful for assisting us with that which is known to the rest of the cosmos, but to humanity is unknown. The issue, though, is it's the unknowable where the true growth of the cosmos lies. Now, can you see why during ages gone by there's been so much tampering and interference with human life? Because it is, in fact, here where the growth would happen. It is. The signs in our environment, our hearts, our dream symbols. Those things, jointly, and our inner senses, my brothers and sisters, it's the more technical term for what your heart whispers. But there are incredibly beautiful, I've accessed about, maybe about 7 times 96 of the inner senses that man has at his disposal. If you go to the Belvas Patel website and you look at the pure states of being and the pure emotions, there are 24 of each, 12 pairs of each. Those are some of your inner emotions. Inner states of being, they're actually inner senses. Because when those things are evoked, the inner senses are saying, yes, go with it. So when we listen to those things, we're going to discover things no one else knows. Now, previously we used to have to uncover what is part of the perfection of mother and father's being and what is not. But in our new way of being, where this is now already solved, what then is it that we have to discover? New relationships between that which is. In other words, let's take a look at a specific state of being called achievement. Achievement is great. It means you've just gone further than you've gone before. You've done something, you've seen deeper than you've done it before, and there's this wonderful feeling of, yes, way to go, wonderful achievement. It's opposite in terms of that which pulses with it is fun. Fun is a state of being. Now, these are known commodities in the cosmos. Perhaps what is unknown to most people, though if you get my books, they're also known, but it might be unknown as to how they actually are an integral part of the cosmic field. And some of that I don't know, so if I ask Mother, she can tell us, and now we know something that previously was unknown. But let's see how it would be unknowable. Something new that nobody has ever done, but you can, being in the physical. How relationships can be done in different ways. Previously, fun would pulse into proactivity when achievement would go into receptivity. Then achievement would be dominant, then fun would be receptive. Well, perhaps there's a way to live them simultaneously. So perhaps the new relationship for something that is known is that achievement is done in a fun way or not at all. So we spend time determining the quality of the journey in our achievement, and we put fun into it so that it's simultaneous. This might be a new relationship that then mother and father goes, aha, and now the journey of the cosmos becomes more fun, because as it achieves more and more enlightenment, mother has seen the way the microcosm, which is man, does it in a new way. Now she implements it for all. As humanity, we in fact have the opportunity to make life better for all, because it is here where all true new information is accessed. It certainly merits our living moment by moment from the highest truth of our hearts, my beloved brothers and sisters. The sub-personalities within you, the inner nurturer, the inner child, the inner sage or wise one, the inner warrior, the high mind, the low mind, which is your instinctual wild woman or wild man archetype, they need to be listened to, because each one of them brings information to you in a very very specific way. The child might simply say, I don't like being around this man. The mind will say, but he's such a good person. He goes to church. He does all his accomplishments. Look at all the charity he's given to people. The child says, I don't care. I don't like him. You know, and then if the child is not properly listened to as a valid source of information that accesses through feelings, non-cognitive information, even when the facade can fool our minds, the child will stop giving such communications, seeing it as undervalued. It is imperative that we listen to each of these sub-personalities and express them. Take time for them to do their part in our life. Make a list of what they like to do, and then simply allow it to happen. My brothers and sisters, if we don't know what we like ourselves, it's a little difficult to live these things. My inner child likes things that other people laugh at. But when she feels lonely and afraid, she watches Ratatouille over and over of the little mouse that could make it big. Even when he was abandoned by all beings and his family, I watch Ratatouille often. You know, my little daughter that I've adopted thinks it's her movie. Wrong. My inner child knows it's her movie. People might think it is ludicrous. I don't care. My first obligation is to make absolutely sure that my inner child has joy. When she watches that movie, she has joy. The nurturer. It is time for the nurturer to come into our lives strongly. But we need to know what makes us feel loved and cozy and cherished. So make a list of those things. Make ways for the sage to speak to you. Make ways for your warrior to continually be there to guard your thoughts against that which is disempowering. My brothers and sisters, it is time for our program to draw to a close. I want to express my deep love for you and my respect for you, because to be where you are today, I know that like myself, you've been through a great many overcomings. We will hopefully be together again next week.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week. We'll be right back.